So I'm joined by Anna Miley and Rosie Botterill from Hard Rock Force of Nature, Dorja. Thanks for joining us, ladies. I'm going to start with a question you probably get asked all the time. Dorja, where's it from? How did you come up with the name?
Well, we were looking for a name for ages, I'm not going to lie. I found this Buddhist word, Dorje, which Dorja is basically the same word, which means indestructible. And it's like related to like thunderbolt and diamonds and like badass things like that. So, so when I saw that, I was like, oh my god, this is great. The Dorje was already taken by a metal band, so we just put an A for the female version, and it actually means the same things, and the indestructible body in Buddhism. So, yeah.
What did you go through then? What were the turned down names before you got to Dorje?
Pretty bad. Oh yeah, and you wanted like I forgot most of them, so that's good.
We wanted like King for ages.
King was like the first really big idea.
Instead of Queen being the male band, we wanted King as the female band, and we like loved it. We're like, we really, really want it. But then there was this like trio, like really R&B pop trio called King, and we were like, oh, nobody knows who they are. And we went into a shop and their EP was like that album was there, and we were like, oh, okay, maybe people do know who they are.
So, yeah.
So maybe we can't rip that off.
So, yeah.
So not quite in the R&B space. Where would you describe your sound? What would you pin it down as?
Well, it's probably a mix of
hard rock, classic rock, and modern alternative rock, right? Yeah, it's a bit of a mix.
It's always like such a hard question when people ask you that.
Yeah, it's very hard to define a band, any band, I mean, to put them in the box. But we have influences of hard rock, classic rock, and then the modern stuff is mostly alternative rock.
Because to me, like, I would just say rock. Like, when I think of, like, the kind of rock that I like, just, like, not metal, not punk, not whatever, just, like, normal straight rock is what I think of us. Probably a bit, like, sometimes a bit heavy, sometimes a bit melodic. It can be a bit pretty at times and, like, really nasty other times. So probably like fans of Led Zeppelin, Guns N' Roses, AC/DC, Royal Blood,
Foo Fighters,
Queens of the Stone Age, that kind of stuff.
So you've not been together long, and it's been quite an eventful journey so far in the little time that you have been together.
Yes, that's almost an understatement. well, it's just been over a year. We released our very first single, Fire, in June last year, in 2016. We started writing songs in the first part of 2016, so yeah, just a few months before the first release. And since then, we've had two, three UK tours.
Yeah, three.
Three,
March and summer.
And then released the first EP, and we're now releasing a new single, and then we've had a lot of problems, we've had a lot of adventures, we've already changed the guitarist as well.
Yeah, it feels like you've been together for so long because you've just had to do so much stuff.
Yeah,
I think so. It's been quick,
busy.
Yeah,
busy.
In another way, it feels like long.
But the core of the band has come from quite a famous punk rock ska covers group we can't mention because it's a family show. But that's the three of you, Anna, Rosie and Holly Henderson, your former guitarist, were all from that band, weren't you?
That's right, yes. So that's how, when I left the band and I went to LA, I had the opportunity to just put my own band together. And obviously there's, you know, I couldn't think of any other two guitarists I wanted to work with, so we girls. And then so we formed Dorja together and asked Becky to join because she was the best bass player that we could think of, and I met Aim over there in LA, so that's how it all started.
Well, you just mentioned Becky Baldwin on bass. How did you get the time to work with Becky, because she's got to be one of the hardest working people in rock, I think?
But I have to say, all credit to her. She is honestly probably one of the busiest people I know, but she has never, ever, ever clashed with anything.
No, she manages her time so well. I've got no idea how she does it.
Yeah.
She's got a very good organization and she dedicates her life to music. So even when she's on tour with another band, she will work on design of Doja. Mm-hmm. And when she's on tour with us, she will have emails and phone calls about another band. She's always have like two or three things going on at the same time.
She just makes it work in the way that she has good priorities. So generally, if she knows she's got a key time free for something, she'll keep it free for that. Yeah. If she's booked first, she's booked first. It's not like people when they just like change out stuff for things that they'd rather do. She's not one of those.
No, she's very correct.
So yeah, she's very, very good about how she does it. And she'll basically gigs on her other band.
Yeah.
If we're like, there's like,
we had a gig with Triaxis.
And I destroyed it the same weekend.
Because she, yeah, she was booked for us. So she just, oh, but Triaxis wants to play. What about we play? And play with both bands. Like, yeah, it works.
Well, with the core of the band in different parts of the country and on different continents, how did you work together collaboratively at the beginning, in the outset?
The magic of the internet.
Yeah, internet and the magic of it.
Like 30 years ago, we couldn't do this then.
That's for sure, yeah. So, yeah, communication is all on internet, chatting or sometimes Skype conferences. And for the composing parts, usually we just send ideas on internet and then we just have a go on Logic, send another idea, and when we actually meet, we already have basic ideas and we just jam around. Usually in like 1 or 2 days we have like 3 or 4 songs.
Yeah, we work really, really quickly when we are together. So when we book time together, we do so much in that time, and luckily we work together really well. Mm. So it's okay, because yeah, it'll be slow.
Now, as you say, you met together for the first time probably about a year ago, May 2016, and you had your debut single, Fire, pretty much off the back of that, didn't you, once you'd all met up?
Yeah, that was one of the ones that we, like, because, again, someone comes with an idea, we record it, we send it, they put the drums on, they send it, put the bass on, etc. So basically
we had the skeleton of Fire, we changed it a lot when we met that week. So I think it was 2 weeks. We spent 10 days, if I remember.
2 weeks.
Yeah. 2 weeks in LA. And so the first week we were mainly rehearsing that song and other songs of the EP that we created, actually, on that week as well. And then the next week was the recording. We better finish that song.
Yeah.
Because we had to record it the next week. It was all planned and stuff. So,
lots of arrangement.
And the Target Practice EP followed on in March of this year. Was it a conscious effort to have 4 very different pieces on the EP?
Yeah, we wanted to show that we could do... We're not just one style, and we don't just do one thing. We just like to show a bit everything we do. So some of the songs that we play on the set, but I haven't been recorded yet, sound similar to one or to the other one or to the other one. Here where they're like the really 4 completely different. So when you listen to the EP, you've got the full panel of Doja, and that's, I think, what we wanted.
And you've done a lot of touring as well, played some great venues, the Whiskey A Go-Go, pretty much every O2 that there is out there. And the summer tour of the UK finished about a month or two ago now. I saw you at the Unicorn in Camden where you absolutely killed it. How much fun was this UK tour?
This one was the best, I think.
Yeah, this
it was the longest.
Yeah, it was the longest. It was like 2 weeks. It was 2 weeks, and we only had 1 day off. During the 2 weeks, and it was so much fun. I think I've never had so much fun touring with any other band. The response from the audience and people coming to your shows was just great. We haven't had an empty gig in all the gigs.
No, we've actually been really lucky with the crowds, because sometimes in some original bands people don't know you so much, and you do turn up and play to like the barman and the sound guy.
That didn't happen,
but that's never happened with us, and it's actually really, really lucky
that we're good. And I mean, on top of that, we have a good response. We've sold a lot of merch. People a lot of people came to us to say how much they loved it. So that's cool.
We've got a really, really good following. Like, our fans are awesome.
And the tour is where you introduced the world to Sarah Michelle, your new guitarist. So how did that happen?
Well, because when Holly left, we were like, okay, let's just start looking for people. And we're like, let's keep it easy. Let's get someone in the UK. And then I was like, guys, we should get Sarah. When she's an island, they're like, well, it's a bit far. And I was like, okay.
It's one plane away. Yeah. It's basically two planes in order to all have us together in the same country.
And then I was like, okay, fine. A little bit later, guys, you should have Sarah.
But then, yeah, there was actually no one better that we wanted in. And she just was exactly what we were looking for.
We had some really good people audition for us. Like, we did get some really good responses. But
and I think she was really motivated. She loved it. She had a blast, didn't she? Because we met on the first day of rehearsal.
All of us.
That we met for the first time. And then it was straight away, like, two, 3 weeks straight together.
I think, like, her style and her like ideas and her personality just fits with everybody else's, and that's like the most important. It's annoying that it's like you're further away, but I didn't want to get someone who you knew it wouldn't quite work.
So five ladies I certainly wouldn't want to mess with. Who's in charge?
Well, it depends what for. Obviously, we don't have any managers, we don't have any agent, we don't have any label. We do absolutely everything by ourselves. And so I think from the start, I was a bit the manager. And then I had far too much on my plate. So at some point, I had kind of a breakdown. And that's when Rosie just said to me, actually, I'll do it. I'll just do everything. So since then, I think we've been doing the most of the logistic and all the management side of things together. But then Becky's doing a lot on the bookings and designs and social media in general. So like marketing and things like that. So and merch.
I think the most organised would be me, Anna, Becky, and then IU and Sarah. Floaty one. But they're a bit floaty, but they do their job, they're fine. Like, IU's job is just to turn up.
it's sort out her visa thing.
Yeah, because she's got a lot of stress having to come from America all the time. So that is her job, basically, is making sure that's sorted. And that is hard, too. That's really stressful. But yeah, we all have quite strong personalities there.
but they match.
Now, Anna, your journey up to this point is pretty amazing. Born in Belgium, and you decided to go into a career in, there are actually very few top female drummers when you think about it. So who inspired you to go into drumming in the first place?
Well, it's hard to say. My dad is a guitarist, and my granddad was a guitarist. And so I thought, well, okay, I learned the guitar then, and because I was always really interested to music, and I saw my dad playing gigs since I was a kid. So, and I tried to learn it, but I found that profoundly boring. Sorry to all guitarists out there. It was really boring. And so I just want to hit stuff. And I remember when I went to see my dad play in concert, I would just hear the drums. That's the only thing I would hear. And I said, everything is just not loud. The drums are so loud. And that's just because I was listening to them. Obviously drummers, after that, to carry on and obviously make a life of drumming would be John Bonham is my main influence. Jeff Porcaro from Toto as well. And Dave Grohl, Nirvana, obviously. These are the three main influence.
And you were touring Belgium at the age of 14, weren't you, with bands?
Yeah, I had like two local bands, obviously, when they were not amazing, I'm not going to lie, like alternative rock. And one of them, actually, I was singer and drummer, and the other one, I was just the drummer. And I was playing a bit everywhere in Belgium with them for a few years until I was about 17.
And like all the girls, you take your instrument very seriously. You passed a 3-year music theory course in 9 months, studied piano, and you've trained with the best. Do you ever stop learning when it comes to a musical instrument? Can you ever master a musical instrument?
I think it's a lie when people say that. Like, no.
And that's the beauty of it, because if you don't get better, then what's the point?
Even like my like the people I know, not famous people, the people I know who are my biggest musical influences, like teachers I had, I'd go and see them and they'd be sat there practicing their guitar with their metronome, practicing stuff. Yeah. And they're like the best.
I mean, it's even for practicing is not just to get better, it's even just to remain at the same level. But obviously you can always get better. It's very pretentious to think, okay, that's it, I've mastered it. Then that's very pretentious. I don't think you can ever say that.
What prompted the move to the UK then, where you're now based?
So I came to the UK to study at tech music school, because there's no similar schools in Belgium. There's only like two jazz schools, and I was not really a jazz player, and I never really wanted to be. So it was either 5 years of jazz in Belgium or 2-3 years of everything in the UK, and so I thought, well, I might as well just move to London. There's more work there anyway, and my teacher in Belgium encouraged me to move. So that's how I made the move to here. And then once you stay here and you start working, there's no real reason to go back.
Well, there's no reason to go back, but you went out to LA as well, so you must have the traveling bug.
I definitely like to live new adventures. And
you wouldn't say no to LA,
would you? No, you wouldn't say no to LA. And then went back to Belgium a bit and then came back here. And I definitely like to travel. I think that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do that job as well.
Yeah, you can't be a musician and not want to travel, I don't think. Yeah.
And people may have spotted you on TV as well, wouldn't they? Were you not in X Factor backing band at one point?
I was in 2012 for the final in Manchester Arena. I was the backing band for James Arthur on the song "Let's Get It On."
Are you joking?
I'm not joking. I am not joking. And
that's amazing.
He played that song the night he won. So yeah, that was really good fun.
Now, talking of TV work, Rosie, weren't you in Made in Chelsea?
Oh, I'm no, just as an extra. Not that. In it, yeah, no. I do extra stuff on the side because, you know, poor musician. You need to punch out.
Because you're in the movies as well, weren't you, as an extra?
Yeah, I've done a few film extras too. I won't tell you what they are in case people go and see them.
Now, I've been digging around online. You describe yourself, Rosie, as a competent guitarist. And I'm sorry if that's competent. I don't know what expert sounds like. Who influences you in your guitar style?
So many, but obviously my biggest love of guitar is Slash. Like, everybody who knows me knows that it's Slash. Everyone knows I'm just like in love with Slash. But I struggle with style because sometimes I still feel like I haven't quite found my own yet. Like, sound and style, like, it's developing, but it changes all the time. Like, I can listen to something more like shred, like Joey Satriani, Steve Vai, that kind of thing, and I think that's, I want to play an Ibanez and I want to play like that, and then I'll listen to some really old blues guy and I'm like, actually no, I want to play that instead, and they're like completely worlds apart. So yeah, I'm not really too sure yet, but I say people like Joe Perry, actually Aerosmith, because they're still hard rock but funky, and I really like funky
rock.
Yeah, I don't want something which is just like too metal or too straight, which has like no feel to it, which is why Slash being so bluesy, blues and like rock and funk and that kind of thing.
Is that where playing the saxophone comes into it as well then?
Oh, I don't know, I can't do that very well. I have one, well, there's one at home, but I play a little tiny bit, not very well.
Anyway, the new single is released on Friday. In fact, it will be out now by the time everyone hears this interview. Tell us all about it. It's called Far Gone.
Yeah, so we wrote that song. It's actually, sadly, one of the last songs we wrote with Holly Anderson on guitar. It's one of the latest songs we wrote and that we played live, and but we reviewed it with Sarah. So Sarah has also, you know, some writing influence in there. And we've played it for a few months live, definitely in the last tour. That's also when I have an epic drum solo and during
the- cut that for the recording.
Obviously, though. I'm not John Bonham, so I'm not going to record my drum solo and call him Moby Dick, you know, like, yeah. I'm just not like that. But so we recorded that just before the tour. We went on tour in London with at the Rake Studio in London. They are brilliant guys. We definitely advise them. And then I've put a video together. I've edited it myself. Of one of the gig we had, the PKD live.
It's really cool. I think it's a really good like next single to do because it's a bit more serious than some of the EP songs. It's a bit darker.
It's a bit darker.
It's more serious and it's more like the subject of the song. Like lyrically, it's different from the EP because a lot of the EP is really about like motivation and being strong. And this song is completely different. Like it's just a bit more like
even like. The opposite.
Surreal, yeah, it's a bit floaty, not quite there, but quite dark. And then like video as well, we don't have any proper live videos really yet put together, so
that'll be a first.
Yeah, so it's like a good new thing for everyone to see, like a new style song and a new style video, because it's not our only videos right now are like studio and then like behind the scenes, so actual like live footage, you get an idea of what you would see
if you come to see our gigs.
Yeah. So where can we get the new single then?
So from Friday 15th, that's the release, until Sunday, it's going to be, so Sunday the 16th, it's only on our website, on our web store. For 48 hours straight, that's going to be the only place you can have it. So for the early bird kind of, you know, buyers. And then from the Monday 17th, it's going to be everywhere, like on all platforms. So Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, if I've forgotten.
Just the general, yeah.
Deezer, they'd be on everything.
And, a little bit of a shout out there as well for the amazing artwork on it as well. It's been a real team effort with this single, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've
people really liked the artwork.
Great ideas for it, and then Becky just came up with that, and I was like, well,
yeah, it's cool,
definitely yes. Cool. And she worked with her best friend actually, so together they put it all together.
We're gagging for the new album as well. Well, any word on the album?
Not yet. You have to wait.
We're working hard. That's the only. We're working hard, and we really hope we'll be able to release it in the time frame we talked about. So we'll meet soon with Sarah here in London and to rehearse and write some new material and finish some other material, and then. At the end of the year, the latest in January 2018, we'll be recording. So I imagine by March 2018, it should be released.
Yeah.
But that's not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's all a bit, like, grey. Yeah.
And I think everyone's question as soon as the UK tour finished a couple of months back is, when's the next one coming along? So are there plans afoot for another tour?
Yeah, right now we are in contact with an agent in Europe to organize a European tour. So if this takes place, then we'll have maybe a couple, three UK dates, I'd imagine. But that wouldn't be like a full UK tour like we had last summer.
I think we want to span a bit now.
But
I mean, when we're recording, if we're all together in England recording,
we'd like to actually have a couple of gigs as well during the recording of the album. So, but before 2018, definitely it's not going to happen.
Now, I said it before, I'll say it again. It'd be criminal if you don't get a deal soon. Any interest yet, and anything you'd want to say to, amazingly, if there was any A&R people out there listening?
We're keeping out.
We had some interest, but we just want something that is a bit more interesting for us. that's always the issue.
Because I think now we've been we've seen enough stuff to know that firstly, if they're probably going to be a bit dodgy, or secondly, if they might be useful but can't. We need someone who could basically do more than we can do.
Yeah, so far we've done so much together on our own that there's only like a certain amount we need. If it's basically what we're doing, then we don't need it, which is what we had so far as an interest. We just felt like everything we could do, they could do ourselves.
And sometimes, because we two definitely have the personalities where we like to be in control, I think. we don't like it when other people were like, I want to be in control. So I think if it's basically what we can do, but someone else doing it, we'll want to be like, what are you doing? What are you doing
all the time? Yeah, it has to be a good communication.
So yeah, they have to make sure they definitely let us still be involved in some.
Yeah, we wouldn't like to be assigned to any label or anything like that where we have no say.
Yeah.
Then everything we've been working towards it's going to be a disaster basically. Also, I don't want us, because a few labels or A&R person really said, oh, we really should put the accent on the all female band. And we actually don't. We're not all female band for the sake of being an all female band. I don't think you call it all male band an all male band. And I don't think they're meant to be an all male band. Most of them are just friends. And well, we are friends. And obviously, it's easier to have female friends than male friends sometimes. Mm-hmm. I would like us to be labeled as an all female band the day the guys get called an all male band, basically.